Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Emma Ryan with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up this evening, the N56 has reopened at Chrysler following the completion of the Garda forensic examination of the scene of last month's tragedy. An extension project has been approved for School Columbkill in Termon. New crime figures reveal there were 4,396 cases of attempted murder, assault and harassment in the North West region in the past year, and the North West president of St Vincent de Paul has raised concerns over the nourishment of children as families continue to struggle with the cost of living crisis. Those stories to follow in full, plus more. And after the break, we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Kenny Harkin. But first in news, the road through Chrysler, which was closed following the tragedy there last month, has reopened. Gardaí have confirmed that a forensic examination of the scene has now concluded. The Health and Safety Authority and the Commission of Regulation of Utilities were also involved in the investigation at the scene. Gardaí say the overall investigation into the cause of the explosion, which claimed the lives of 10 people, is ongoing. All traffic diversions in place around the scene have now been removed. Gardaí have thanked the community for their assistance and cooperation and says their thoughts continue to be with the families of the deceased and all those injured and affected by the tragedy. There was a drop in the detection rate for most categories of crime last year when compared to 2020. CSO figures show that fraud, deception and related offences had a detection rate of just 6% in 2021, down 13 points on the previous year. The rate for robbery, extortion and hijacking was 28%, down 5 points, while there was a 71% detection rate for weapons and explosive offences. Just under a fifth of suspected offenders of sexual offences reported in 2021 were aged under 18 when the offence occurred. Meanwhile, crime and detection statistics for the Northwest region have also been published. With more, here's Michaela Clark.
There were 4,396 cases of attempted murder, assault and harassment in the Northwest region with a detection rate of 37%. There were 10 murders in the Northwest with a 90% detection rate. There were 761 sexual offences recorded in the region, 7% of which were detected. There were 5,692 public order and other social code offences recorded in the Northwest, 65% of which were detected. There were 167 cases of robbery, extortion and hijacking in the region with a detection rate of 20%. 1,379 burglaries and related offences, 16% of which were detected, and 46,826 thefts and related offences with a detection rate of 34%.
The Northwest president of St Vincent de Paul has raised concerns over the nourishment of children as families continue to struggle with the cost of living crisis. The organisation has warned that the current crisis is worse than the last recession. Rosa Galakin says people are facing immense pressure over how they are going to heat their homes into the winter and provide food, particularly those on low incomes. She says the future is unclear.
In the last recession, there wasn't this huge surge in fuel and food costs that we have now. And as we all know, mortgage rates have risen also lately. I do feel that people are under serious pressure, especially people on low income. I feel that their budget is really stretched and people are struggling. The launch of our appeal, where we said it's food or heat. And we are seeing that people cutting back on one or the other, you know, to manage. So I would be concerned, you know, for, you know, the nourishment that children are getting and so on, through nobody's fault, but the cost of living and the pressures on people.
And unfortunately, as you talked about there, there are people already under immense pressure, but this is going to get worse as more heat will be needed, which will result in more costs now in the colder months.
Yes, we are hearing that it could be a severe winter, but you never know. But it's already turned very cold, and even the cost of bags of coal and that sort of thing and oil, I would be very fearful that people will be cold in their homes. homes, especially if there's illness in the home too. We are seeing quite a bit of that as well. The latest budgetary measures went down very well. People were managing very well with those payouts. But what would concern me is, coming into the new year, what happens then? Because there's nothing more to come, and there wasn't a huge rise in incomes forecasts. So I do think people will be under severe pressure through the winter.
An extension project has been approved for School Columbkill in Termin. Minister for Agricultural, Food and the Marine and Donegal TD Charlie McConnellogue confirmed today that the extension project for School Columbkill in Termin has received initial project approval from the Minister for Education. The extension will consist of two class SEN based under the Additional School Accommodation Scheme. The minister said the project confirmation is great news for the school community and congratulated the school on their hard work. A solicitor says a Court of Appeal hearing which upheld a €2 million reward to a West Donegal County couple has created a very important legal precedent in terms of the use of expert witnesses in personal injury cases. In 2020, Patrick and Anita Duffy were awarded the money in the High Court after successfully claiming they were exposed to toxic chemicals from spray foam insulation in their home. The process used a chemical which is highly dangerous, and the couple were not advised to leave the house, and they now have life-changing respiratory injuries which in Patrick's case were described as catastrophic. The award was appealed, and earlier this month the Court of Appeal upheld the reward. In particular, the Court of Appeal criticised an expert witness called by the defendant, saying there was an absence of objectivity and impartiality. Cormac Harnett, the Duffy's solicitor, says this is a very significant development.
One of the top things that has come out of this case, apart from the vindication of the Duffy's in the High Court and in the Court of Appeal, is that the court has drawn to the attention of solicitors and their experts that you cannot bring to court what might be perceived as being a hired gun. And the defendant in this case used a toxicologist from America, whom the High Court discredited completely and didn't allow any of his evidence. And the Court of Appeal affirmed that in making this ruling, that it's very important that in the defence of litigation, people who bring expert to court must realise that the duty of the expert is to the court, not to the person who is employing them. And unfortunately, in this case, the whole case was made much more difficult and much more harrowing for the Duffys by virtue of the manner of the defence. And that is one of the egregious things in this case. The defendant expert essentially was utterly partisan, tried to really undermine and diminish and discredit the Duffys, much to his own demise. The High Court and the Court of Appeal has drawn to the attention that anybody who is involved in litigation, and particularly when you're dealing with maybe insurance companies who have lots of funds versus a person from West Donegal who doesn't, there is the opportunity perhaps for experts to be cherry-picked until you meet one who's going to say the right thing. And in this case, the court found that that was the case, that the Duffys were subject to a defence expert who was wholly unreliable, wholly discreditable, and utterly partisan. And the court ruled accordingly that that expert's evidence should be completely omitted from the court record and sounded a warning to anybody involved in litigation that you must be very careful as to what expert you choose and that that expert must be aware that his duty or her duty is to the court and not to the person who's paying him.
Three Donegal social enterprises have been awarded funding to carry out capital works to improve their facilities. €100,000 for Spree August Sport Family Centre in Carndonagh, €10,000 for Liquid Therapy Company in Buncrana, and €8,000 for Drumnarin Development Company has been awarded under the Scaling Up Fund announced by Minister Heather Humphreys today. Spree August Sport will use the funding to fund a porta cabin which will allow for a permanent base to meet the needs of 40 children and young people with a disability. The porta cabin will also provide office space for three staff members. Liquid Therapy will receive €10,000 for a feasibility study and to the doubling of their current capacity to deliver inclusive ocean-based programmes and services and the geographic expansion of the Liquid Therapy services, while Dermarone Development Company will receive over €8,000 for a feasibility study examining development options for expansion of the Blue Stack Hostel. The Taoiseach says lessons will have to be learned regarding the cost of the new Children's Hospital. The facility in South Dublin is expected to cost over €2 billion and will open in March 2024. That's 17 months behind the original timeline for the build and €600 million above the starting budget. The hospital is now 80% complete, but Taoiseach Micheál Martin says it's taking a long time to get here.
There are a range of issues in terms of procurement, contracts, all of that, that certainly lessons have to be learned in that respect. But it is a very significant undertaking at the same time, and I think in the fullness of time, full evaluation of all of that will take place. And it's been a very difficult journey from concept to location of site.
Russia's ambassador to Ireland is due to meet the Secretary General of the Department of Foreign Affairs. It's over the decision to ban more than 50 Irish politicians and officials from entering the country. It's led to call for the ambassador to be expelled from Ireland. Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue is one of those on the Russian list. He told Clare FM it's important to have diplomatic ties with Russia, even at times of war.
What we have done, as you know, is we have expelled a number of officials from Ireland who are representing the Russian Federation, and I believe that is proportionate and justified. But ultimately, even at times of horrific, terrible war, I still believe it's essential that countries have the ability to talk to each other and to support their people who could be abroad.
Irish Water are starting works to improve the quality of water supply in China on the outskirts of Lifford. The works are due to commence along the N15 Lifford to Castlefin Road in the coming days and will be expected to be complete by the end of December. It will see the replacement of 300 metres of old cast iron pipework. Temporary traffic lights will be in operation for the duration of the works. It's almost 12 minutes past five. We're going to take a short break now, but we'll be back with more news and sport right after these.
It's not just that Sarah can't rely on the rains to come this year. It's not just that the only water left could cost her life. It's not just that she has seen all her crops destroyed and she is struggling to feed her little boy. Like thousands of parents living in regions devastated by drought, Sarah is living in fear. And it's not just. This Christmas, your love can make all the difference. Visit Trocre.org or call 1800 408 408. Trocre. Until love conquers fear.
Fury as Irish beef prices lag behind South America. In this week's Irish Farmers Journal, factories come under pressure to lift beef prices ahead of World Cup demand. Farmers banned from burning bushes in 2023. €50,000 grant to refurbish derelict houses opens. Department looking at options for farmers locked out of agri-environmental schemes. Find out how much you can be paid for scrub next year. Plus, don't miss a 10-page tractor special. Inside this week's Irish Farmers Journal, you cannot afford to miss it.
Hello, Farmer Tinny here. Tinny's Toys are now open 7 days a week. New stock arriving weekly. Our Christmas Club is now open. Check out our entire range online at tinnystoys.com, where we offer free shipping on orders over €75. Buy now, pay later with Klarna. No extra charges. Tinny's Toys, Ireland's largest farm toy superstore. Down by.
Farmers, you're built different. One step after the other, you don't see the rewards for months or years. That's life on the farm. Or you could say, that's life in rehab. When you're learning to walk after a machinery injury, one step after the other, you don't see the rewards for months or years. Just because you've the strength to see you through rehab, it doesn't mean you should have to. Farmers, always take care around machinery. From the Health and Safety Authority, visit hsa.ie/farmsafety.
Get glowing skin this winter with the Clarins Gift of Beauty at McIlhenny's. Purchase two or more Clarins products, one to be moisturiser or serum, and receive a choice of four free beauty treats and a gorgeous beauty bag. Plus, with a third Clarins purchase, receive two deluxe size body products. Hurry, offer available at McIlhenny's until December 3rd while stocks last.
Heading out on the town tonight? Doing some shopping tomorrow. How do you know that the door staff or security guards are vetted, trained and licensed? Individuals licensed by the Private Security Authority must wear an identity badge displaying their license number and their photo. Unlicensed door staff and security guards face prosecution and fines. To report unlicensed door staff or security guards, visit psa-gov.ie. issued by the Private Security Authority, the security regulator.
Irish National Opera presents one of the greatest musical comedies, Donizetti's firecracker Don Pasquale. A brilliant battle of wits about love, money, and an old man's will. With singing that's enchanting, exciting, and heartwarming. Graham Danby is Don Pasquale, and Kellyanne Masterson, the wily Narina. At Angrenan Theatre, Letterkenny, on Saturday, the 26th of November. See irishnationalopera.ie. Funded by the Arts Council.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy's Sports Letterkenny, with great stocking fillers like snoods and bobble hats. Shop local and find the perfect Christmas gift with free next day delivery on orders over €85 at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to Highland Radio News. It's time now to join Kenny Hirken for all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Emma. Good evening. We'll start with Gaelic Games news, and glowing tributes have been paid to Michael Murphy today following his retirement from inter-county football. After 177 appearances for the county, one of the greatest players to grace a football field is hanging up his boots. Under manager Jim McGuinness, Michael captained his county to three Ulster titles and the All-Ireland in 2012. Jim says his decision to retire is a huge loss for Donegal.
Just the absolute perfect professional in terms of what he does and how he does it, and food and recovery and water and all those things be a huge part of his life, you know, for the last, you know, 15 years. So in terms of the actual physical body to go and do the job, you know, personally, I wrote an article in the summer and I got some criticism over it because in the article I said that I felt that his best years was ahead of him. And what I meant by that was, you know, he was playing midfield for Donegal for the last number of years, playing out around the middle of the park, and that's a very, very, very demanding role. And I played there all my life, but I played there all my life growing up as well, whereas Michael played most of his football full forward and went out and changed his body shape in many respects to be able to, you know, deal with the demands of the game out there and to control the game, and he did that brilliantly. But I felt then, you know, as the clock would tick on, that he would revert back into full forward and we would see him in there more consistently over the, you know, the couple of years when his career would be running down. And that excited me. I thought, you know, in terms of the people around the country, that he's still on a par with any of them in terms of, you know, his physical stature, his skill level, his free kick taking, all of those types of things, you know. So yeah, it's a huge void, and it's a huge loss. And Michael obviously feels that this is the right moment, but it's a huge loss to Donegal.
Yes, Jim McGuinness there paying tribute to Michael Murphy. You can hear more of those tributes with Jim McGuinness, Martin McHugh, Eamon McGee and Declan Boner on our website highlandradio.com in the sports section. In other news, Tyrone star Conor McKenna is set to return to AFL, joining Queensland side, the Brisbane Lions, for the 23-24 season. It's understood he spoke to five AFL clubs before deciding on Brisbane as his new home. In colleges sport this evening in hurling, the ATU Letterkenny, they're in a Higher Education Senior Hurling League Division 3 action. They play Merino this evening. 7 o'clock's the start time at the GAA Centre in Convoy. In soccer, Republic of Ireland manager Stephen Kenny has vowed to pick a strong side for tonight's friendly with Norway at the Aviva Stadium. However, the likes of Will Smallbone, Evan Ferguson, Mark Sykes and Liam Scales could all make their international debuts. Kick-off there is 7:45. In other news, prospective Cork City owner Dermot Usher hopes the club's Forest members will allow him to take them to the next level. City's board have accepted a bid from the Dublin businessman who was behind bathrooms company Sonus. The sale is subject to a simple majority of Forest members voting in favour next month. In rugby, Andy Farrell has made sweeping changes to his Irish side for Saturday's test with Australia. Captain Jonathan Sexton starts at out half in place of Joey Carberry. Jimmy O'Brien switches to the wing. He replaces Robert Balakun, with Hugo Keenan installed at fullback. Stuart McCluskey starts for the third game running and is partnered in the centre by Gary Ringrose. In the front row, Andrew Porter and Dan Sheehan come in for Jeremy Lockman and Rob Herring. James Ryan returns to the second row. Keelan Doris moves to number 8 with Peter O'Mahony and Josh Van der Fleer on the flanks. Bundy Aki could make a first appearance of the autumn off the bench, and there's also room for uncapped Leinster lock Joe McCarthy. In other news, Sport Ireland has established a €35 million fund to help sports clubs with the energy crisis. Applications are open for grassroots clubs to apply for the fund to aid them through the winter months. Successful applicants will receive the first payments in January 23. Closing date for applications is set for Friday, November the 25th. In golf, Seamus Powers won over par through four holes of his opening round of the RSM Classic. There's currently a five-way tie for the lead in Georgia on four under par. And Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry were both off the pace on day one of the DP World Tour Championship. McIlroy carried a one under par round of 71, while Lowry finished up on one over par. Englishmen Tyrrell Hatton and Mats Fitzpatrick there jointly in the lead in Dubai on 7 under par. And in snooker, Ding Junhui has set up a UK Championship quarter final with Ronnie O'Sullivan. Ding defeated James Rees-Clark by 6 frames to 1 this afternoon in York. Still on the table, the other game, Judd Trump is 4-3 up on Sean Murphy. Finally, on the score this week, there's more on Michael Murphy's retirement from the Donegal senior panel. We speak with fellow All-Ireland winner Frank McGlynn on Michael stepping away. Athletic Ireland president John Cronin joins us ahead of Cranford's hosting of the National Cross Country Championships. Brett McGinty tells us he's in confident mood ahead of his sixth professional boxing fight this weekend. And Darren Hunter talks to us about Letterkenny Gael's next assignment in the Ulster Club Championship. That's the score all after 7 o'clock news. It's back to Emma.
Thanks, Kenny. And now to this week's Farming News.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about beef prices and how the World Cup means more demand for burgers, plus the stalling of a controversial veterinary medicines bill that has come under scrutiny from the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Agriculture. But first, the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue, will open the first ever Pedigree Dexter show and sale to take place in the Republic of Ireland. It's taking place tomorrow at Rafo Mart, and the event is being organised by the Donegal Dexter Cattle Group, and it has attracted considerable interest. The smallest of the European cattle breeds, Dexters are about half the size of a traditional Hereford and about one-third the size of a Friesian milking cow, but they're very hardy, efficient grazers and are able to thrive on poor land. And in recent years, there's been a real upturn in interest in this breed. Well, in Rafo tomorrow, the unloading is set to finish by 4 o'clock, judging from 4, followed by presentations, public entry after 5, and the minister will be there to officially open the sale, which gets underway at around 6 o'clock. Well, whatever about sport and politics not mixing, well, what about farming and sport? The World Cup will have an impact on demand for beef. Adam Woods, beef and suckler editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. Certainly pressure is mounting on the beef processors to increase beef quotas, demand outstripping supply. A lot of things looking favourable in one way, but not at the farm gate. So bring us up to date with the situation, and plus the fact, Adam, we've a World Cup, which means more burgers are going to be sold.
Yeah, that's the big one, Chris, I guess. If we look back across the last week, we've seen a record cow kill. Yeah, cow kill up to 10,945 head. That's the biggest cow kill, weekly cow kill, since 2004. And what's driving that is a really strong manufacturing beef demand and a food service demand. And this is ahead of, I guess, a World Cup starting on the 20th of November. And you might say, well, it's not during the summer, there won't be any barbecuing, but there'll be a lot of gatherings of people. There'll be thousands of people across Europe and the UK who will gather to watch matches over the next 4 or 5 weeks. That will happen in pubs. Pubs aren't traditional pubs anymore. You just don't buy alcohol, you buy food, you dine out. You dine out in restaurants and you watch the match. And I guess processors are expecting a big, big surge in demand from that. So we're really seeing pressure is mounting there. That's coupled with Christmas demand. If we take it, we're only a couple of weeks out now from Christmas. And if meat has to be on the shelf, we'll say, for the second or the third week of December, which is peak shopping time for Christmas, that 30-day premium product needs to be 30-day aged premium product needs to be on the shelf. We'll say it needs to be killed in the next week or two. So, yeah, big, big pressure. They've been dragging their feet, Chris, over the last couple of weeks as regards increase in quotes. If we look around the world, French price this week is 572. The Polish price, which is a lot more underdeveloped than Irish, we'll say beef systems, 523. Argentina, 14 cent ahead of the Irish price this week at 490. And that's just not acceptable from my point of view in terms of look to South America and the production standards are over there. And here we have Irish beef farmers jumping through every hoop there is in terms of production standards and a very, very high cost of production. And here we have the Argentina beef price ahead of us. So there's something wrong there. And I know if we look at the Board Beef Market Tracker, which sort of looks at where we sell our beef, we're 50 cent behind the markets that we're selling our beef into. So there's something wrong there and there's 50 cent a kilo going missing. It's definitely not returning to the farmer.
Is there room for optimism? I mean, surely the price has to rise.
Yeah, I think so. Look, we've done some budgets there in the last couple of weeks and we're looking at €6 or a break even. We're a long, long way off that. And in fairness to your listeners in Donegal, they're actually quite lucky in that boiled meats in Donegal, in Carrigan's, are actually top of the league at the moment. In Ireland, they're up at sort of 480, 85. And they've been out there in front for the last number of weeks. But the rest of the main processors have, as I said, have been dragging their feet. I think the price will improve. I think we've seen a huge kill over the last number of weeks. And that will start to peter off now. We've seen a 2,000 head drop in the prime cattle kilo over the last 2 weeks. So supplies are going to get tight. And look at it, simple economics. When supply goes down and demand goes up, the price goes up. And when it's the other way around, the price comes down. So hopefully coming up to Christmas, we'll see a big lift. And look at it, it's almost starting to happen already. We've seen a 5 cent increase this week. But we need to see a lot more of those weeks happen in the next couple of weeks.
Now, Adam, let's change tack somewhat. And controversial new rules on the sale of animal health medicines will not come into force from the 1st of December due to problems with the proposed legislation. Now, the whole veterinary medicines bill, this has been going on for quite some time. So perhaps you can explain exactly what is going on and what are the problems.
Yeah, so we've been following this story really, really closely for the last 18 months. And it's arising out of new ELU legislation that the Department of Agriculture have to implement around the sale and prescribing of antiparasitic treatments and antibiotics. At the moment, you can walk into a co-op or a merchant and you can purchase your dosing product to dose your cattle. Under this new regulation, the department are proposing that a prescription will have to be wrote from a vet to purchase that antiparasitic treatment. It has went to the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Agriculture. They are not happy at all with the detail in this proposal, and they're not happy to send it on for pre-legislative scrutiny. That means that the proposed changes that was to come into effect on the 1st of December will not happen. So it's as you were. And look, I guess I've spoke to a lot of co-ops, a lot of merchants in Donegal actually that are working along the border, which is very, very applicable to this legislation, because if you have a different animal health legislation working on the south of the border to the north of the border, you're opening up to a black market there, and there's some of the merchants up I know in Donegal will be very, very exposed to that because they're so close to the border. So it's a really, really important one, and look, it's good work done by the Joint Oireachtas Committee, because they're now going to block this and it can't go until the changes come into effect. And you know, speaking of merchants, they're worried that if they're not able to sell these drugs or they have to sell them with a prescription, well, maybe the vet will sell them then to the farmer and they'll be out of the loop on that. So there's jobs at risk here. And really the common sense approach here, I think, would be to upgrade the people that are selling the antiparasitic drugs up to a person, we'll say a responsible person status. So to train them up, use more fecal sampling and keep the competition in the market. And look, I think maybe we'll see some movement on that now in the next few months as regards some changes to that legislation, and hopefully common sense will prevail.
And that was Adam Woods, the Beef and Suckler editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. Also in news this week, Northern Ireland Water has a scheme to help farmers dispose of unwanted chemicals in the River Derg catchment area in County Tyrone. Farmers in the eligible area are encouraged to use this free farm-to-farm collection of unwanted chemicals and pesticides. Under the scheme, collections will take place of unwanted or out-of-date herbicides, weed killer, sheep dip, insecticide sprays, fungicide sprays, veterinary medicines and empty containers. and also rodenticides. If you register for the scheme, the Northern Ireland Water Contractor will collect these items free of charge from your farmyard on a pre-arranged date and then dispose of them safely and confidentially. Now, registration for the scheme closes on the 30th of November, and the collection of the chemicals will then commence on the 9th of January. To be eligible for the scheme, farmers must live within the County Tyrone drinking water catchment area upstream of the water treatment works near Arstraw. This area includes Beaumont, Castledurg, Killin, Achiarn and Killeter. Meanwhile, there are some significant changes under land eligibility legislation under the CAP strategic plan, which comes into play in January. Scrub, trees, woodland, habitat and rock, which are deemed to be delivering a biodiversity benefit, may now be deemed eligible for the purpose of receiving your basic payment. And finally, two Donegal female farmers will feature in a new T.G. Cahir documentary series that begins next Wednesday. Manon na Tulun will follow Breedne Hickey, who is in Gwydor, and Hannah Doherty, who farms on the Donegal-Derry border. The other female farmers are from the Aran Islands and Ballinasloe, both in County Galway. And that programme next Wednesday starts at 8:30. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union, Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
And now a look at this evening's weather. Tonight will be cloudy with scattered outbreaks of rain, possibly mist and foggy patches too. Lowest temperatures of 2 to 5 degrees. And this evening's headlines. There was a drop in the detection rate for most categories of crime last year when compared to 2020. CSO figures show the fraud, deception and related offences had a detection rate of just 6% in 2021, down 13 points on the previous year. The rate for robbery, extortion and hijacking was 26%, down 5 points, while there was a 71% detection rate for weapons and explosive offences. The road through Chrysla, which was closed following the tragedy there last month, has reopened. Gardaí have confirmed that a forensic examination of the scene has now concluded. Gardaí say the overall investigation into the cause of the explosion, which claimed the lives of 10 people, is ongoing. All traffic diversions in place around the scene have now been removed. The Northwest president of St Vincent de Paul has raised concerns over the nourishment of children as families continue to struggle with the cost of living crisis. The organisation has warned that the current crisis is worse than the last recession. And an extension project has been approved for School Columbkill in Termon. Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine and Donegal TD, Charlie McConnellogue, confirmed today that the extension project for School Columbkill in Termon has received initial project approval from the Minister for Education. That's all for now. We'll be back with the headlines again at 6 o'clock. The main evening news will be available on our website at highlandradio.com as a podcast. Good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 17th of November. The death has taken place of Willie Dixon, Ballinahone, Fawn. Willie's remains are reposing at Liam and Teresa Dixon's home at Ballinahone, Fawn. Funeral from there on Saturday afternoon at 1:30 for 2 o'clock service in St Mary's Parish Church, Fawn, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The death has taken place at the Donegal Hospice of Desmond McGeoghan, Tuirne League, Carndonna. Removal from Liam Collins' funeral premises, Cooldaff, tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock, going to his cousin Patrick Collins' home at Litcher, Cooldaff. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10 for funeral mass in the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonna at 11, travelling via Tuirne League with burial in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. Desmond's funeral mass can be viewed live on carndonaghparish.com. The death has taken place of Mary Frances Brennan, Bayonne, New Jersey, and Mina Cross, Dunloe. Funeral mass will take place in St. Mary's Star of the Sea Church, Bayonne, New Jersey, at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time tomorrow. The death has occurred of John the Moss Carr, Doamore, Fanad, Donegal. John's remains will repose at his nephew Pat's home at Doamore from 6:30 this evening, with removal from there at 2:30 on Saturday, arriving at St. Mary's Church, Fanavolte, for 3:00 Requiem Mass, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on the St. Mary's Fanavolte and St. Columba's Massmount Facebook page. The death has taken place of Philomena McLoone, Byrdstown, Ballandrate, Lifford. Philomena's remains will repose at her late residence from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. this evening, and again tomorrow from 12 noon until 10 p.m. Family, close friends and neighbours welcome with the house private pleas on the morning of the funeral. Funeral from her home on Saturday morning at 11:20, going to St. Patrick's Church, Murlock, for 11:00 Requiem Mass, which can be viewed on clonmelyparish.com. Family flowers only, please. Private cremation will take place later. The death has taken place of Hugh Donaghy, Clina Ballymagan. Remains reposing at McLaughlin's funeral home until 6:00 this evening. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 to St. Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11:00 at Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Brian O'Donnell Jr., late of 5 Riverside, Ardnagrainia, Stranorner and Admiran. Remains reposing at 5 Ardnagrainia, with visiting until rosary at 7:00 tonight. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for 11:00 Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorner, with cremation afterwards at Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan, at 3. Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam. Family flowers only, please. The house at Admiran is private. The death has taken place of Fidelma Gallagher, Railway Road, Stranorner. Fidelma's remains will repose at the family home at Main Street, Stranorner, until 10:00 this evening, and again tomorrow from 12 midday to 10:00. Family, neighbours and friends welcome. Family time, please, at all other times and on the morning of the funeral. Mass of the Resurrection in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorner, at 11:00 on Saturday morning, with interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to a charity of your choice, care of any family member, or Martin McGowan, McGowan's Funeral Home. Requiem Mass will be streamed live on the parish webcam. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.